My name is Tengil Ås Sandre, and this is Working in Projects. I'm currently at a conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. This lecture is about planning and monitoring tools. Planning and monitoring tools are used in the early phase to structure the project, so you need it to have an idea, to create an overview of your project, of the progress, what is connected, who's doing what, and so on. At a later stage, throughout the project, it is usually used to, well, monitor, that comes from the name, right? Monitoring the progress, but also to communicate, and that is quite important, to communicate within the project and outside the project. It is also, of course, important for the project owner. Now, the project owner will not be part of the day-to-day communication and will need some way of understanding if a delay in one part of the project creates problem down the road or if it's easy to adjust. So therefore, these tools are quite visual in their expression. However, different tools will focus on different aspects. So which tool is the most important for your project or which is the best suited for your project, that will be up to you to decide. The Gantt diagram is one of the most popular planning and monitoring tools. It's very good for planning who does what when. That is, of course, if you actually know who does what exactly when. In a more open project, where it's difficult to plan in advance what is to be done exactly when, is maybe not the best tool. The Gantt diagram is good for giving an overview of a project, as long as it's linear. It is, however, not the best tool for showing how different tasks are connected or which task depends on which other task, unless they're strictly linear. In a project with several sub-projects that are interlocked somehow and have interdependencies, you would probably want a different tool or a tool in addition to the Gantt diagram. Because the Gantt diagram is so popular, a lot of leaders, a lot of project owners will recognize the Gantt diagram. So it may be the best tool for communicating with the project owner, even when it's not the best tool for communicating within the project group. Now, I don't like this Gantt diagram for showing a lot of details, because for me, it easily gets full of details that are irrelevant and it's difficult to see which are important and which are not, so it gets cluttered. The differences in hierarchies and differences in importance for different tasks, I don't find that this Gantt diagram will communicate that well. In the simplest form, a Gantt diagram gives every task a single line or row in a table. In its more complicated forms, there will be layers and roles and so on. And in this example that I've lifted from the web, you see progress bars as well. And in its most advanced form, this is certainly a good use of the tool. And in this instance, it doesn't seem cluttered, but you get a good idea about what is the main tasks and the subtasks. But again, this is not filled with details. It would, of course, demand a lot of the project workers to actually fill out enough information to give a reliable progress bar in such a diagram. And it may be an issue with an unreliable chart that attempts to communicate progress bars like this when, in fact, it's not totally reliable. In the planning process, the Gantt diagram is quite good at making sure that you have enough time on each and every task. So, and it will show if a lot of tasks are to be completed more or less at the same time. And if that's the point, that's good. But if you want to kind of distribute the workloads throughout the project phase, maybe that is an indicator that you haven't planned well enough, that you should try to move some tasks. So for example, if we go back here, you can see all Jennifer Jones' tasks seem to be lined up quite nicely. But then again, if she is also part of some of Sam Watson's tasks, I mean, there may be an interaction between design and development, at least in the early phase, that is rather time consuming. So the question is, all right, does it communicate how much work she actually has to do? You can also use Gantt to plan around special events. So use it to block out periods where that for some reason cannot be done as much work, but it's not a time planning system as such. At least I haven't met that kind of Gantt diagram tool that easily allows you to plan around time management. So when should you not use the Gantt diagram then? Well, if the project is goal seeking or rather open ended, it's a kind of a fact finding mission, you need to get new knowledge, for example, and that's the main issue of the project, then you will run in different directions at once in the beginning, and then you'll focus in on one area, most likely more at the end. And for those kind of projects, the Gantt diagram, at least in my experience, is not the best tool. And when the project is a mix of some tasks that are more running tasks, they, you do it throughout the entire project, for example, increasing your knowledge base, and at the other end of the spectrum we have these very time critical things, like if you need to deliver a budget, you need to deliver a budget on time so you can't change the date. Then you have a mix of some loose and open-ended tasks and some that are very time critical, and if you try to combine them in one chart, well, in my experience that doesn't communicate well. So you should at least be conscious about what you do. And when time is not a critical component, when everything is not linked to dates, but more, for example, with resources, and you progress when you have people available, and you don't have people available specifically for the project, you need to enlist them more ad hoc. Well, then again, the Gantt diagram is probably not the best tool. And if few others care about your progress reports, then spending time on the Gantt diagram is probably not time well spent. The Gantt diagram requires a bit of time. It is worth it when you have to communicate with a number of people. If few people expect you to report in this manner, then you have to consider whether it's worthwhile for you. The network plan is different from Gantt diagrams in just about every way. I mean, this version that I presented here is an extreme version, but still, it's focused on dependencies and connections, not time, which also means it's much better for planning than for monitoring. It's all about seeing the workflow from a beginning task to the end result. So we have some tasks that must naturally follow from others. But it will also enable you to see tasks that are repetitive or that do a circle. So for example, if you have a student scenario, you have interviews with the scenario, and then you create a new concept and you take the same concept back and have new interviews and so on. So the workflow has center stage rather than time, so it's quite different. And you can see there are no decision points or toll gates in at least this model, and it would be difficult to integrate toll gates into a network plan, which also means it's difficult to plan in this manner and then say, oh, at this point we may have to change the system, change the project, reconfigure the project, or even end the project. So it has a few cases for it, for example, the workflow and the interdependencies and so on. And then there is the issue with the lack of monitoring facilities within such a plan. Now, I mentioned stage gate models before. Stage gate models are what you may have when a project has defined phases and there are certain decision points, breakpoints, when a project may actually change course or when you may decide to reconfigure the project, go from one phase to another, or even just shut the project down. Certainly when you know it advance, when it could be a good idea to reconfigure or at least rethink the project, a stage gate model may be what you need. Stage gate models are also good when you need tight control. So project owners who have several projects, who may even control a portfolio of projects, they may want a stage gate model. And they may want it even if your particular project doesn't fit the form quite well. Stage gate models may also be used when you have external resources. They may need some kind of plan to see what may change and what is important to know at a certain point, because you may need to reconsider the entire project. It's certainly more for monitoring than for planning. So it would work quite well with other, well, with the forms of planning that I've talked about earlier, the Gantt diagram and network diagram. So you may need to create both. Now, this is a schematic overview of a project that is fitted to a stage gate model. You see there are several subtasks and there are decision points between them. So for example, decision point one. The question is, are these the challenges this space should and may solve? This is a typical thing that would go from a project manager to a project owner. So for example, the project group is given a mission to create a hybrid study area slash lecture hall. And I sit down and define different challenges and say, this is within the scope of the project, this is not. And they maybe make it Gantt diagram to say, oh, this is the task that we're going to do, and this is the time it will take, and they have an idea about the cost. And then they go to the project owner for decision point one. Is this the project that the owner imagined? Is this what they want? And if it is, the project group goes on and have different interviews, for example, and they imagine different solutions through this issue, how to solve this mission. Then maybe they have to go to the project owner again for decision point two. Are these solutions feasible? Because if they're not, there's no point in going further with the project. There's no point in arranging a workshop if none of the solutions that the workshops will consider are actually feasible. There are different types of stage gate models. Now, the essence of these were all captured, I believe, in the previous slide. And if you stick to that kind of model, you may find a lot of projects that will fit. You'll decide in the planning process what are the decision points, when is it important to have a meeting with stakeholders or with the project owner. And the organization may demand these meetings. They may demand that you have these decision points. And that is when you will decide whether to go further with the project, reconfigure the project, do new goals, or actually end the project. Some of these stage gate models, they are rather constricting. They are very detailed. My experience with PRINCE2, for example, was that it was very good for planning a certain type of project. And it would have been very good at monitoring progress if the project owners had taken the time to actually follow through. They, however, were not any better at doing PRINCE2 projects than the project managers. And a lot of the projects that were attempted to fit into this model didn't actually fit very well. They were a different kind of project. And you have to be aware of that, that different projects are well suited for different models, or different models are suited for different projects. But some organizations, they have chosen the models beforehand, and then they ask all the different projects to fit into that kind of model for reporting progress. In such cases, these very good tools for planning and monitoring the progress of a project may actually themselves create problems. So please be certain if your project fits in this mold or not beforehand. And if it doesn't, you need to communicate that somehow, but you still need to try to configure your project in such a manner that you will be able to deliver on the decision points, if that is what the project owner expects.